So this is a Wednesday evening meeting. Good evening to everybody, or good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're listening to this little short message. I just returned from Berlin, which is in Germany, and I had a beautiful time there with the church. And there was a question: how do we understand the story of the washing of the disciples' feet in John 13? What is that story about? So let's turn there to the Gospel of John chapter 13, and I'm going to read from verse 3 to 10, and then I'm going to give you my thoughts. And before we do that, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we have in you. Thank you that you came to this earth. You didn't leave us in our sins. You didn't leave us left to our own strength, our own ability. Thank you that what you have given to us is so much better than what we could have ever achieved. We pray for our fellowship tonight. We pray for the word. We pray for the Spirit to speak. Bless those who are gathered in your name anywhere on the planet. Amen. So John 13, actually this is the only place where this story is recorded in the Gospel of John. From verse 3, it says here, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. So we stop here a little bit, and I'm by no means expert in customs of the Bible. We have a book that is called Customs and Habits of the Bible, and Kirsten thought it was very funny, as if the Bible was a living creature that would have habits, but we understand it's not that. But this exercise that Jesus did was something very usual. Of course, people in those days walked either barefoot or wearing open sandals. So their feet got dirty, and they had no tables, or very seldom had tables like we do. So they sat down on the floor to eat. So this was a ritual which was partly necessary and partly washing somebody's feet was also a good service that the master of the house provided for the guests, and it was usually done by a servant. And that's why Peter was so surprised to see Jesus, who was the highest ranking guest in the house. He was the teacher, the person that everybody was respecting and honoring, and that he would do the job of a servant. That was very surprising. So he comes to Peter, and Peter says, You are not going to wash my feet, because I think you deserve better than that. And I don't want to read too much into this story, but the question that was asked was, what does this teach us? Because afterwards, we didn't read those verses, but Jesus said to all of the disciples, you call me teacher and Lord, in verse 13, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. So, there are some groups, some Christians who actually do the literal washing of the feet. I have never met a group like that, but it must be very humbling, actually, to see that. But I suspect that this is not what Jesus meant. This could be an expression also, but he talks about something else. So I have picked only three things from this picture. I believe it's a symbol. He did a symbolic act. And I picked three things that I would like to talk about. The feet, the dirt, and the water. He said, you are all clean, only the feet need to be washed. So what we know what he meant when he said that you are all clean, right? You are sanctified by him, by his blood, by his sacrifice, by the baptism into the Spirit, into Christ. We are clean from our sins. God sees no sin in us because Jesus died for our sin. He has taken away our sins from us. So we are clean. Once and for all, he has made us perfect through his only sacrifice. But the feet need to be washed. So what do the feet talk about? I believe that the feet talk about our daily walk, our daily life. We live in this world. We have not been taken out of this world yet. And that means that we have a walk. Our feet are on the earth. Our head is in the heaven. And Colossians 3 says that we should also have our minds occupied with things that belong to heaven. But our feet are on the earth. We have a strong connection to this earth because we live in a body. We are in a body that lives on this earth. So I say that the feet talk about our daily life, our daily walk, and the feet get dirty. And what is dirt? We can talk about it next point. But it's obvious when we are on the earth, we are in contact with things that don't belong to God, natural, the things that belong to the natural life. I think it's a challenge for us Christians to see each other's feet being dirty, don't you think? It might be a scandal, an offense to many. And this was one of those thoughts that I thought really refreshing as we were talking in Berlin, that there's nothing surprising about it, actually. We get together and we see each other's feet, so to say, and they are dirty. It's not something exceptional, it is something very normal. And of course, we are ashamed of it, and we don't want to show our feet to each other. But when we have close fellowship, it's inevitable. And that's also a good point, I think, that when we see, and we will see, that people's feet are dirty or our own feet are dirty, we don't need to hide it because there's a provision. And Jesus taught what to do. But just to stay with the feet, I want to make this point that having dirty feet is completely normal for a Christian. As long as we live in this body, it is going to be an issue. And
I don't think that we should react to it any more than having dust in the home that needs to be cleaned, or having dishes that need to be cleaned in the house. This is, I think, what this story teaches us, that this is part of life. And then let's go to the dirt then. That could be point two. Because this is the necessary step, that yes, there is dirt, but it can be washed off. First of all, how do I recognize what is dirt? Because I think that could be also an issue for maybe sometimes. Sometimes it's very obvious what things are that belong to the world that should not be naturally on my feet, that should be washed off. But sometimes I don't know what they are. And so we need to have discernment. And that comes through doctrine, that comes through teaching. Learning doctrine, discipleship, discernment, to see what is dirt, what belongs to the earth, and what belongs to God, what belongs to heaven. And then, what is the water? I think that's a very clear picture in the Bible. The Bible speaks about the water being the Word. Ephesians 5:26, for example, says that it's the husband's job to wash the wife with the Word, that she would be able to stand before God without any mistakes. But as Jesus washes us, He washed the disciples and He washes us also. So it's the Word that washes us, that cleanses us. And this is something, when we take the Word and wash somebody's dirty feet, this is something that's not natural. I think this is very much of a challenge. And I was just thinking about it, but it's maybe embarrassing for me to realize that I have dirty feet, but it's even more embarrassing that I see that somebody else realizes that, and they start ministering to me, correcting me, helping me. And I would like to talk about it in practical ways, what that means, because that was the second part of the question I got in Berlin. What does that actually mean in practice, that we ought to wash each other's feet? But, okay, I said that the Word is the water, and this Word is very special. It's a living Word. It's actually a water, just like water, when you put the feet into the water, they actually do a job loosening up the particles and helping it remove. The Word also has an effect in itself. When the Word is being spoken, when the Word is being received, the Word does His work in our life. And in Hebrews 4:12, we read actually that the Word is like a sword that helps us separate things, those things that belong to the world are separated from the things that belong to God, the soul from the spirit, and that's an interesting water. We need that to be applied to our feet, and that is done by somebody else who washes us, and that's a servant. Who does it? Because this is also an interesting thing if you think about it. If I'm very honest, I would say that I don't think I'm very good in this area at all, and maybe you have felt like that too. it's somehow very hard to notice somebody's faults or mistakes and be that servant who does the washing of their feet. Because if I have the wrong attitude, it's not going to come out right. Yeah, it can only be done like Jesus did it. He took off his nice clothes and put on a servant's clothes that he used actually to wipe the feet. And am I ready to be used for people to wipe their feet? This is what I said, we can't do this in the natural, this is supernatural. When we see that somebody has dirt on their feet, we don't want to be the person who will help them. And if we want to be the person, then we must make sure that we do it in the right spirit. And it's Galatians 6 that speaks about that. You who are spiritual, help those in the spirit of humility, you know, knowing that you can fall in the same thing. There are many other thoughts, but I don't want to get stuck here. I think you understand why it can only be done as a servant. Yeah, it's not going to happen anyways, because I'm not willing to do it for people in my natural. So let's talk about the practical things a little bit. What are these things? I think you got the idea, but maybe we can be a little bit more concrete. Like, how does a Christian's feet become dirty? Maybe I have been listening to the radio and I have received thoughts that I shouldn't have, and I'm occupied with something and I bring it into the church. And then somebody has to come and help me disengage. Maybe I borrowed money from somebody and I haven't paid back, and I don't talk about it, but there's something there, some tension. I don't know another example, but things that are like a little spot on my pure Christian soul or spirit that need to be washed off. And so in these practical points, point number one for me is, yes, we do notice. Washing each other's feet, I don't think it means that we pretend that it's not there. Somebody comes in, puts up their dirty feet on the table, I cannot pretend that I don't see it. That's bad if I do that. Yes, we do notice, and then we have some thought process about it, what we should do. Then secondly, we don't talk about it behind this person's back. I think that's a good one. Instead of, because you know how it is, like, if I don't know what I should do, if I don't know how I should react, then I will be insecure, and from that insecurity comes this need that I need to talk about it with somebody, because I don't even know how I should think about it. I know how I feel about it. I feel uncomfortable, I feel upset, I feel that there's something that's not right, something that's not worthy of Christ or the church or just my friend, but I don't know how to handle it, and I will go to somebody else and I will talk, maybe. And that's not very necessary. I mean, maybe, I'm not saying that you should never do that, because maybe this is something where you can get help and somebody can show you what you can do. But that instead of speaking, we can just act like Jesus did. So what does this action mean? It means that I pay the full cost. I clean up the mess completely. And that's something that's very extreme, very radical. I understand it is. You know, I said this example because this was something that came up a lot, for example, in the church in Hungary. A lot of problems with money, borrowing money and and those things in the church among brothers and sisters. I'm willing to clean up the mess, pay the person who was wronged, cleanse my brother's character, that there would be no spot on him, wash the dirt off his feet. And I do it for him, and I take the full, what's the word I'm looking for, pay the full cost. When Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, they didn't have any part in it, they just had to sit and receive his ministry. Yeah. So I do it without being asked, but maybe it has to be God who moves me to do it. It's not out of compulsion or because I feel like I would be a bad Christian if I didn't do it. But the Holy Spirit, I think you know what it's like when God sets you free and moves you to do something, and then you have joy in it. That will be actually the last point that I want to make, the joy in ministry. So we do notice, we don't necessarily talk about it, but we act. And this action means that we do the whole work for this other person. And then one more point is that we do it in endless patience. Because that's another question. Well, what if this person falls into the same mistake again and again and again and again? Am I supposed to do the same thing for him? Well, when is he going to learn? How is he going to learn? But that's not our concern. If we follow the example of Jesus, we wash feet, and I think this is an interesting point, that that this is exactly what the dirty feet talk about, that this is a daily routine. The feet get dirty every day. It's not like it would be better in, you know, the next month or next year. If I walk, if I go about my business, I'm going to have dirty feet. And that's just a fact that we have to accept, and the sooner we accept, the better off we are, I think, when it comes to our relationships among each other. So we are patient in keeping doing it, washing each other's feet. Don't be so concerned about when are they going to learn, because this is how they learn, that they receive grace. Do you think when Jesus comes, you know, kneeling at the feet and wiping the feet in his own little apron that he has on, how do you think that feels? Or when you see your own brother doing it for you, that brings in humility. That brings in some reflection, and that is, I think, this action is in itself that teaches. Nothing else can. I'm not saying, you know, especially if it's a young person, a young Christian, that we don't try to teach them principles, how to walk with Christ. The Bible is full of teaching. But when we kneel down to wash their feet, it's only about that. It's only about taking care of their laundry. So I come to the point that I said, that we will have joy in it. If we come to John 13 again, in verse
verse 16, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." This is deep. He says that a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. He said, if I wash your feet, then you should do the same for each other. And he is the greatest servant. It's undeniable that he who is the greatest of all, he who sat on the throne of the highest in the heavens, came down, you know, from Philippians to those five steps, how he came lower and lower and lower, humbling himself until he went down into to the grave, actually. So low he became for us. And he says, if you are my disciple, then you are under me. Then look at how low I went, and then you are even lower than that. And this is his greatness, by the way, that he went down so low. And thank God that he did it. And we see that ministry, and we understand, it says about Jesus in Hebrews 12, that he looked at the joy that was set before him, and that's why he did what he did. And we read here that if you know these things, meaning what I require of you, blessed are you if you do them. And I'm going to finish with this one. Have you felt that joy when we have walked in the Spirit and we have done something in Christ? And most of the time it's not easy at all. But first I have my natural thoughts about it, and I'm really upset. Why do I have to? That's just upset. And then I calm down and I realize that there is no other way.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to go through humility and die to myself and to my own ideas, identify with Christ. And then when I do what I'm taught to do by him, then he says, you are blessed, you are happy. If you have learned this, if you know this, and you walk in it, you are blessed. I have felt also the opposite. When I knew what the example of Christ would have required, and I didn't do it, and I was frustrated. I was unhappy. I was empty. And then thank God that you always have a new chance.
Mm-hmm.
You can just turn around in the moment,
mm-hmm,
and say, yes, Jesus, I know what's right, and I'm going to do it next time. Now, this is, we're not talking about salvation issues now, but we are talking about making decisions to follow Christ, to walk with him in our daily routine, in our daily lives, in our relationships. So, maybe this is where we finish this afternoon. What does the washing of the dirty feet talk about? I think it speaks about ministering to each other when we see their weaknesses, their failure, stepping in and cleaning up after them, whatever that means, whatever situation it is.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to accept that the feet do get dirty, and that we are given to each other to do that ministry. And the water is the word. The dirt is those things that belong to the world, that don't belong to Christ. And we do it because he taught us. It's interesting that he didn't give us an option, actually. He said that you should do it because I have done it. And if you do it, then you are my followers.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's an unusual subject and maybe not one where we feel comfortable. But I have confidence that God is going to teach us more about it.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Jesus, for your humility. Thank you that this is our life story, that you see, you know that we are not worthy, that we are not pure, we are not perfect, we are not even who we would like to be. But that when you see our failure, don't judge us, you don't blame us, you don't require that we would clean up our mess, but you bow down and you do the work. Thank you that you taught us to do it for each other. We pray that you bless these thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen.
How long was it going on?